be seated. So here we are in Proverbs 4. Thank you guys for reading. And in Proverbs 4, we should know these things. Who is writing Proverbs? These should be simple to us. Who is writing Proverbs?
King Solomon.
King Solomon, the wisest man in the Bible, right? That God came to him and basically said, what do you want? And he asked for wisdom. He asked for an understanding heart, mostly so that he could lead and guide the nation correctly. But God gave him that wisdom. I was talking to somebody a couple days ago, and we were talking about how people would come from all over to ask Solomon questions, things that they couldn't figure out, that God had given him the wisdom to figure out. What is wisdom, guys? So we know Solomon's writing Proverbs. He's writing about wisdom. What is wisdom? What is wisdom? What is wisdom?
Knowledge. Having knowledge.
It's a part of it?
Knowing between right and wrong.
Okay.
I guess how to use that knowledge.
I would land there. How to use that knowledge. Knowledge is a part of it, and knowing right and wrong, obviously. But guys, it's taking that knowledge and using it to make the proper decisions. Listen, I think a couple weeks ago when I preached about Paul's prayer for the church at Philippi, right? He's saying, I want you to grow in your knowledge and judgment. You prove things that are excellent. You make the right choices. Listen, people can have a lot of knowledge and make terrible decisions in life. Okay? God doesn't want us to know a bunch of these things, but then we make poor decisions in our life. Listen, if you make poor decisions in your life, you have to bear the brunt of that. I have to bear the brunt of that. And that's not fun, guys. Listen, God has given you choices to make. So what are you going to do with the choices that you have? Okay? So wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. Solomon is writing, and he's writing to his son. We can see that in verse number 1. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father. Attend to no understanding. He's saying, I give you good doctrine. And he goes throughout this whole chapter. There's a lot of things we can learn from it. But he's saying, listen, son, I'm trying to teach you. His son's name is Rehoboam. He's trying to teach him, trying to give him things. Verse number 2, he says, I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. Then Solomon kind of harkens back to his upbringing. In verse number 3, he says, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Do we know who Solomon's mom was? We know David is his dad. Who's his mom? Who's Solomon's mom? Tim's got the hand raised. I think he knows, guys. Does anybody know?
Are you thinking the same thing?
I don't know. Are we? You want to say something, or are you just going to smile at me? Weird. He doesn't want to say. All right, Tim, give us the answer. Yeah.
I was.
You know how we don't know that you were right? You didn't say anything. All right. But yeah, that's his mom, Bathsheba. We know the famous story surrounding that. But Solomon was born to Bathsheba after all that event was over. God gave them Solomon. But yeah, he's saying, they taught me right. Verse number 4, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. So guys, he's just saying, listen, I was taught this stuff. I've tried to make proper decisions in my life. And now he's passing it on to his son saying, listen, I'm giving you the same stuff. And I want you to hold on to it, to retain it. But I want you to live it out in your life. He says, keep my commandments and live. Guys, all throughout this chapter, he's given him truth. He's given him wisdom. He's given him instruction. He's given him, hey, this is the way you need to handle life. This is how you need to handle these different situations, different people you encounter. In verses 14, I think Daniel read part of this. He's talking about some of the evil men that you need to stay away from. He says, avoid it. Pass not by it. Stay away from these things. All throughout, guys. But there are three. I've read this chapter a lot. But there are three kind of things that pop out to me every time I read it. And this is what I want to give you today. You're given a lot of truth, guys. You're given a lot of truth there. Those of you that went with us last week on the trip, we had, what, 5 messages in 2 days, right? That's a lot of stuff coming your way. And some guys, listen, some guys can think, so what am I supposed to do with all this? You preach at us, you teach us, you say we need to read our Bibles every day, we need to stay on top of these things. But what do I do with it all? I mean, is it just, guys, so I can write it down? Although I'm a big fan of that, that's not the end result that we're looking for. Okay? What are we trying to get you to do with all this information that you're given? All this stuff you're handed. What are you going to do with it, right? Listen, for those of you that are coming in this class, you hear preaching. Those of you that are going to be going to Christian school, you hear the chapel messages. You're hearing this stuff constantly. So how can you take it and effectively incorporate it into your life, right? That's a key. Listen, guys, because if not, listen, everybody look up here. I've seen guys that have come to church a lot longer than you have, and then they make poor decisions in life. Now they're no longer in church. Now they're not living right. And they justify and say, I'm fine. I don't need anybody to help me. They're wrong because they're rejecting the truth of God. It's not my opinion, not pastor's opinion or Brother Tut. It is God's word, and it's always going to be correct. So here's the message today. Can you handle the truth? Can you handle the truth? Listen, when it's given to you, what are you supposed to do with it? Is it just going to go in one ear and out the other? Is 5 minutes after class, they're going to ask you, what did they preach about? And you're like, I don't know. I think they mentioned God a couple times. It's not good enough, right? So what are we going to do with it? Can you handle the truth? What I mean by that is you grab a hold of it, incorporate it into your life, harness that power, and use that at your job. Use that at your school. Use that at your home. Listen, guys, it shouldn't be that you come to church and then you're going home today cussing or listening to wicked music or watching wicked TV. Something's not connecting, right? Something's not getting from point A to point B. There's a problem. Listen, when God speaks to us, it needs to help us, direct us, cleanse us, correct us in some areas, call us out, and get us on the right way. Micah, it should make a difference that we come to church. It should make a difference that we read our Bibles. Right? Guys, do we just read it so we can say, yeah, I did it, and then we live the same old way? That's a big red flag right there. Oh, I go to church 3 times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I will not miss. But you live like the other heathens at your job. We're missing something big time. Listen, it should make an effect. It should make an effect. So, how can we handle the truth? Can you handle the truth? I'm saying, Danny, this is for you. This is for me. This is for Arion Christian. This is for Mike and Ethan, Nathan and Tim and Wes and George. Everybody in the room. This is how we can get a hold of it and use it. All right? I'm going to take these kind of out of order. All right? I said there's 3 things that pop up in this chapter that they always get my attention. I'm going to take them out of order, though. All right? First one is in verse number 20. Verse number 20. Somebody read that verse number 20 for me. You guys have already read the whole chapter, so you know this stuff. Ethan.
My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my saying.
My son, attend to my words. Guys, what does that mean, to attend? To attend. Sorry?
You're trying to say it.
Okay, trying to say it. Attend. Pay attention. Okay, that's good. Usually how we use attend is just being there, right? We take attendance in class and say, yeah, we had this many, this is who was here, this is who was not here. You guys know in school when you guys actually used to go there before the whole COVID thing, you know. He's like, oh, don't remind me, all right? But they take attendance, who was here. Listen, guys, it's not making much sense if Solomon's just saying, son, when I'm talking to you, be there physically in front of me. We're thinking, that's a given, right? He wouldn't be talking to him if he wasn't there. If nobody's in front of him, he's not going to be saying, son, let me tell you something. Solomon? Nobody's there. All right? Listen, obviously he's saying be there physically, but guys, this goes much deeper than that. I don't think he's saying be there physically. We know that's a part of it. He's saying be there mentally. Hey guys, I know we're tired some days, but are you here mentally right now? Are you locked in? Is it important to you? Are you focused? Are you concentrated? Are you saying, man, I want to get something from this? That's why he's telling his son, be there, be there. Listen, guys, how many times has it happened? I know it's a struggle for everybody, but sometimes guys give into it and they go by feelings, not by truth. Listen, how many times do you come in class and you're tired and you didn't hear word one of what was said? Can I tell you that's a shame? Not because it's me preaching or Tim preaching or whoever was preaching. It's because it's God's word. And God's trying to direct your life. Listen, listen, listen. You say, so what? So what is, in a couple years from now, the stuff that was preached about, you're going to have to make a decision on. You're going to have to make a decision on, young man, about the kind of young lady that you're going to pursue or the kind of job that you're going to go after. And listen, because people don't listen, they make the wrong decisions. That ends them up in the wrong destiny, and they think, man, I didn't want my life to turn out like this. Because you aren't listening. Guys, listen, this book will give me a successful life, an abundant life, if I listen to it. George, just because I carry my Bible to church doesn't mean I'm going to have a successful life. Just because I wear my shirt and tie and, yes, sir, bless God, amen, doesn't mean I'm going to have a blessed life. I've got to live these things. I've got to listen. It's got to be important to me. Hey, guys, right now, you may be in class. You may be here physically, but are you here mentally? Are you locked in? Are you ready to hear from God? That's the first one. And the point that I call it, I don't think I gave it to you, it's called serious attention. Serious attention. He's saying, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Attend. Be there mentally. Be there in heart. Have it ready to go. God told Moses back in Exodus 24:12. He's saying to come up to the mount and meet him. But this is what the Lord said unto Moses. It says, Exodus 24:12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to the mount. Come up to me to the mount. And be there, and I will give thee the tables of stone and the law and the commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. What is he saying? Same thing, right? He's saying, hey, Moses, come up to the mount and be there. He's not saying, once you're there, make sure you're there. He's saying, no, be here mentally. Don't walk up to that mountain distracted. Don't walk up that mountain to meet with God, thinking about something else, off on some other page, worried about something else in your life. He's saying, Moses, when you get up there to be with me, you be there mentally. You be locked in. Hey, guys, when it's church time, are you locked in? Serious attention. Listen, you know why some guys never get any benefit out of the preaching? They don't pay attention to it. They're asleep. They're thinking about something else. They're thinking about their friends. They're thinking about what they're going to do later. Thinking about where they're going to go. Thinking about what girl they're going to try to talk to once class is over. Listen, you're not going to get what God has for you when you're thinking about all that other stuff. You need to be in there. Be locked in. Be there mentally. All right? He's saying give serious attention to it. Are you fully invested? Hey, guys, how many times are we scattered all over the place? Can I tell you, that's a battle for me sometimes. Especially, I'm running the route with my wife now. But when I was on bus 4, guys, that was a challenge. Because sometimes, Michael, there would be some crazy stuff that would happen on the bus on the way in. And it would be easy for my mind to be pulled aside by that and be dwelling on that. But you know what I'd have to do? I'd have to go out of the room for a couple minutes, pray, and say, God, I need to focus now. Yes, because I'm preaching, but guys, I need to get something from the Word of God too. Listen, what do you need to push out of your mind so that you can be fully invested in this? Not scattered, not all over the place. Listen, you want God to speak to you? Have it be a priority to you. Fully invested. Have focused importance. Do you place a high value on it? People don't gain anything from the Bible. They don't get any better. They don't see any effect on their life. They don't see anything changing. Why? Because they don't place any value on it. Listen, guys, we place value on stuff throughout our lives. But when it comes to God's Word, we're thinking, are you done yet? Hey, why don't you be more focused on, did I get something from God, than how long is the preacher going to go? Hello? Anybody listening today? Some of you guys are like, man, how long did he preach? I understand I usually preach a long time, but do you get something from it? I hope so. You better walk out of that room saying, man, I got something from God. Instead of, man, you preach, what, 40 minutes? 50 minutes? An hour? Who does he think I am? A robot? Listen. Why don't you say, no, I got this from God today. I don't care if the guy preaches 5 minutes or he preaches an hour. Did you get something from it? Did I get something from it? If not, what are we doing? We're distracted. We're off base. We need to be fully invested, focused importance, place a high value on it. I was thinking about it. Anybody like sports in here? Most of you guys like sports, right? You guys know when it comes to the critical part of the game, right? And I don't know about you, it's almost natural or subconscious that you kind of perk up and you say, man, this is an important part of the game. Listen, whether it's a soccer game, basketball game, football, baseball, whatever you like, you know when the critical part is coming. Guys, when that clock is ticking down, there's not much time left, and your team's down by one, and they're charging, they're about to try to score, you know that that's make or break right there. Hey, guys, can I tell you, in your life, this is make or break right now. Right now. You want to have a good life, George? Of course. Every Christian want to have a good life? Of course. Everybody say, yes, Brother Tom, sign me up. All right, then pay attention. Lock it in. Hey, guys, I can tell you right now, Tim, if I'm watching my team, the Yankees, and, man, the other team's got the bases loaded, there's two outs, it's 3-2 count, their best hitter's up to bat. I can tell you, nobody needs to tell me, hey, Tom, wake up. This is the key part of the game. I already know. I know because I know baseball. I know the game. Guys, I perk up and say, this is the whole game right here. If he gets a hit, we lose. If we strike him out, we'll probably win. This is make or break. This is going to shift the game in one direction or another drastically. Hey, guys, your life can be shifted drastically by your reaction to the Bible. If you're falling asleep, if you're not in tune, if you don't care about it, your life's going to go in the wrong direction. The people that don't listen to the Word of God, the people that don't read their Bible, they're the ones that marry the wrong people. Or don't get married and mess around and pay child support the rest of their life. You want to be that? No, no. Then pay attention. Pay attention. Get a hold of what God has for you. He says, my son, attend to my words. He's saying, son, this is important stuff. These are life lessons that you need. Grab a hold of these things. Hold on to it. Be fully invested. Have a focused importance. And understand, guys, he says in verse 20, my son, attend to my words. And we know who's writing this. It's Solomon, right? We know it's his words he's talking about. But these words are in the Bible. In a much greater sense, this comes from God. Listen, when Tim's preaching, Tim did a great job last week. But just because it's Tim's words doesn't make it important. But if it comes from God's word, it's important. When I'm preaching, it's not just important because it's my word. That doesn't really matter. But if it's God's word, guys, that elevates it to a level where it should be of the utmost importance. Hey, whose words are most important in your life? What the celebrities say, what the popular people say, what the girls say, what the friends say, or what God says? Hey, guys, this is a key quote. That's dead on. You shouldn't live by feelings. You should live by truth. Like you guys talked about, a lot of times with your feelings, you don't feel like it. But you've got to push through. Why? Because it's true, because it's what God said. Base your life on what God said, guys. You want to have a good family? Base your life on what God said. You want to be a good man? Base your life on what God said. You know what being a good man is? Reacting how God tells us to react, not the way we feel. Hey, you know what the world tells us is a real man? A real man has got all these tattoos. A real man, he yells at people. He's mean and angry. That's not a real man. Anybody can do that. The babies over here in this class, they do that pretty good. But I don't think that's a real man. I don't walk by and say, yeah, I want to be like that four-year-old. No. A real man can control himself. That's hard to do. They don't see too many, they don't make too many movies about guys that control themselves. You know? But I'm telling you, that's what being a real man's about. It's not blowing up at everybody you get angry at. That's being selfish. And by the way, that'll rip a family apart in the future if you don't watch it. Be fully invested. Have the focus and importance. Realize that this stuff ultimately comes from God. Listen, guys. Paul's talking to the church at Thessalonica in chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians. He says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. He's saying, man, every time we pray, we're thanking God about this fact. Because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, he's saying, we preach to you the word of God. We told you what God said. He's saying, you didn't receive it as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. You know what he's saying? We got up there and we taught you and preached to you about what God said. And he's saying, listen, when we did that, we could tell by your intensity, by your attention, and by your reaction that you didn't just take it as a word of man. You took it as the word of God. And that's what it actually is. And you know the end of the verse, it says, which effectually worketh also in you believe, in you that believe. You know what that's saying? When you take it with the utmost importance and you take it that seriously, hey guys, that's the person that sees a change in their life. If you say, I've never seen a change in my life, do you place any importance on the Bible? Hey, you know what that means? Placing importance on what the Bible teaches you? That means if God tells me to be a soul winner, I need to start working on it. God tells me to be a soul winner, I need to start working on it. You say, what does that even mean? That means I put tracts in my pocket today. And when I see people, hey, can I give you this for my church? Because if not, those people are going to hell. I don't like hearing that. That doesn't make me comfortable. They're not going to be comfortable in hell. We've got to care. Listen, if it comes from God, it should take on a level and importance that nothing else in this world does. God said, my words, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. This is Psalm 12. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Listen, guys, a lot of times we talk about, and thank God for it. Bless God, we have the preserved word of God, and we do. And God, listen, God has enough power to make his word perfect, and God has enough power to keep his word preserved throughout all generations. He's promised that right in Psalm 12, what I'm quoting to you. But listen, a lot of times, Michael, we fight the battles. Bless God, we have the King James, and that's the word of God. And I believe it is the word of God. But do you read it? I have the right Bible. Well, do you do anything with it? If not, we're just going to carry it under our arm and say, bless God, King James, right? Yeah, and I'm all about King James. But do you read it? Does it make an effect on your life? Do you care about it? Brother Kirk has said in the church, for years we fought the battle of the right translation of the Bible. He's saying, but nowadays I wonder if people even read the right translation of the Bible. Wow. That hits me right there, and I think, man, I need to do more about this. I need to learn it more. It takes on a final immensity that it's the words of God. It's not my words. It's not the preacher's words. It's not some just religious talk that sounds good and sounds fancy. It's God's words. Guys, does it take on any importance in your life? That's where you'll grow. Verse number 1 of the chapter says, hear ye children the instruction of a father. Attend. There's that word again. Be there. And what happens? To know understanding. You want to get understanding? You want to start growing? You want to get some insights into this Christian life? You want to start learning and growing and developing? It's when you attend to it. That's when it happens. And be faithfully in tune. Verse number 20 again says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. You know what he's saying? Tune in. And tune in. Hey, guys. And can I tell you that shouldn't just happen 1 week or for 1 month? That should happen continually in your life. Guys, over and over and over, even if you've heard these things before, keep placing a high value on them. Listen, obviously everybody in the room, but some of you guys that have grown up in church, I hope you come for the rest of your life. When you're an old man, you're still in church. But you know what? How you're going to be successful like that? By continuing to place a high priority on what is being said from the Bible. The Bible says in Hebrews 2:1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. We've already heard them, lest at any time we should let them slip. Listen, you know the devil's constantly pulling on what you've learned to try to take it away from you. The Bible talks about in the parable of the sower that he's like a bird that comes that steals the seed away out of your heart. He's trying to take that away from you. If you don't grab a hold of it and hold on to it, it's going to be gone. Give serious attention. Attend to God's words. All right, can you handle the truth? You need to give serious attention if you want to handle it. Point number 2, you need to seize it right away. Seize it right away. You spell that S-E-I-Z-E. Seize it right away. It means to grab it, to clutch it. And that comes from verse number 13. All right? So first of all, give serious attention. Hey guys, are you here today? What's home? Duh, my body's here. I know. Is your mind here? Is your heart here? Are you fully invested? How about before the preaching, guys? This is a good thing to start. How about before the preaching, you to yourself say, God, would you please give me something today? Would you please speak to my heart and forgive me my sins? If you do that, I guarantee you, you get a lot more from it. That's also a good thing to do before you read your Bible in the morning. Say, God, give me something. I don't want to just do this to do this. I don't want to just run through the routine. God, I want you to give me something. I want to change as a result of it. Give serious attention. Be there mentally. Number 2, seize it right away. Verse number 13, check this out. Again, he's saying, be there. Verse number 20, attend. Verse number 13, he's saying, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. What do you guys think that's saying? Verse 13. What is that saying? Take fast hold of instruction. Mr. Ethan.
Take fast. I guess that means like hold on to it. Mm-hmm. And let her not go. Her is talking about wisdom.
Wisdom. Mm-hmm.
So just don't let, keep a firm grip on wisdom and don't let it go.
Yeah, definitely. And I like the words of it, guys. Take fast hold. You know what that's saying? Grab it. Grab it quick. Get a hold of this thing right away. Grab it quick. That's what it means. Hold fast. Hold. Take fast hold. Grab it quick. Hey, these things that you're being taught, grab a hold of them. Grab a hold of them. You'll need them in life. Again, you say, what, is somebody trying to take them away from me? Yeah, the devil is. He's trying to take them away from you. And by the way, there are so many counter messages coming your way from the world that, guys, if you don't place an importance on this stuff, the world will just bash you under with all of its contrary messages that say, you don't need to do right. Hey, if you want to touch a girl, touch her. You want to kiss a girl, go for it, man. Who cares? Don't let anybody tell you what to do. Listen, you are submitting yourself to Almighty God. Who do you think knows better? You, the stupid world, or God? Obviously, God knows best. But we need to listen to what He says. Be there mentally. Give serious attention. Seize it right away. Again, take fast hold means to grab it quick, to hold on to it tightly. Listen, are you doing that? Hey, guys, you know, you guys know I'm big on taking notes. I think that's an important thing. I think it's an important thing. You will retain much more of what you write down than what you're just listening to. Now, if you don't want to take notes, hey, that's fine. But I'm just saying, telling you my personal advice. I learn a lot more from it if I write it down. I make note of it. It places a whole different level of importance on it, and it helps me hold on to it. All right? If you're not taking them today, I'm not beating you up. I'm just telling you, think about it. Use that in your life. That'll help you hold on to these things. Seize it right away. Take immediate action. When he says, take fast hold of instruction. Hey, are you grabbing hold of this today? Are you going to make some decisions just off of what we've talked about to this point? Are you going to make a different approach in your life, a concerted effort that when I go into church, man, I'm going to be there mentally. When I come back next Sunday, I'm going to be there mentally. I'm going to be locked in. I'm not going to be thinking about my phone. I'm not going to be thinking about the internet. I'm not going to be thinking about what's going on in the world or what my friends said yesterday. I'm going to push all that stuff to the side. I'm going to be locked in. Are you grabbing a hold of it? Are you grabbing a hold of these truths? Are they going to affect you? The immediate action, the insistent approach. Verse number 13, he says, take fast hold of instruction. Notice the next part. Let her not go. As Ethan said, that's talking about wisdom. Grab a hold of it. Hey guys, if God is giving you something from his word, don't just let that pass you by. Don't just let that go in one ear and exit the other side. Yeah, I've heard it all. And by the way, maybe you have heard some of these things before. But you know, God gives us reminders at times. Ethan, there's things that I know, they're in my brain somewhere that I've heard a long time ago. But sometimes God wants to scoot those things to the front of my brain and to the front of my focus, saying, hey, you need this right now. You need this right now. God, I know we're supposed to pray every day. I know we're supposed to read our Bible every day. I know I'm supposed to treat my wife a certain way and supposed to be kind to people. I know all that. But you know what? Sometimes with what I'm dealing with or what I'm struggling with in my life, God says, you remember this thing way back here that you heard 5 years ago? Bam, you need to focus on it right now. So don't just dismiss it. Say, I heard that. And by the way, I'm getting off real quick. Sometimes we say, yeah, I know all about that, but we don't know all about it. Tim, it stuns me that some guys, you talk to them about a certain subject in the Bible, say, yeah, I know. But if we give you a moment up here and say, hey, here, come, teach us about it. And we hit the stopwatch, you last about 15 seconds. 15 seconds, all right? That's all you last because you don't really know about it. And I'm not trying to beat anybody down, but I've experienced this. They turn it off because they say, yeah, I know. But you can't teach anybody else. You're just sick of hearing it. That's your problem, all right? Say, no, maybe I don't know as much as I think I do. Humble yourself down and say, Lord, help me to learn more. Hey, guys, if you know so much about it, why don't you teach everybody? And if you can't teach everybody, maybe you need to say, maybe I don't know as much as I think I do. Okay? I think we need to focus on that. Seize it right away. He's saying, I'm not going to let it go. Young men, as you grow older, don't let these things go. When you go to college, don't let these things go. You know the truth. Well, here's another one. By the way, depending on what kind of college you go to, or in the future, if God moves you to a different church, and Nathan, you could attest to this, he goes to a Christian school, but would you say the Christians there are a little different, right? A little different, all right? The college I went to, they're different. Hey, guys, I don't base it off of the strand of Christianity I'm around at that moment. I base it on the truth, right? You listening? You come in here listening to the dirty music, we're saying, hey, don't listen to that. Some churches or Bible colleges or Christian colleges you go to, they say, hey, brother, that's great. I'm so glad you're fulfilled with that music. Huh? You come here, put your hands on a girl, we're going to have problems. You go to some places, they say, hey, it's fine. We're just trying to love everybody. Yeah, a little too much. We got some issues going on here. Hey, guys, listen. Please, everybody pay attention right now. Hello, wake up. Don't base it off of the kind of Christians you're around. Mm-hmm. Listen, I know Nathan's taught this. This is not anything new I'm teaching him right now. But he needs to base on what he does off of what the Bible says that doesn't change, not off of, well, I'm at Woodlawn today, so I act like this. Then I'm at my school the rest of the week, and I can act like this. You see what I'm saying? A lot of people do that. And Tim, they say, it's okay. They're Christians too. And we're not bashing them, but maybe they don't believe some things that they should. Maybe they don't hold tightly to some convictions that they should have. By the way, guys, we have standards for a reason. We have convictions for a reason. We don't just throw them out there because we're trying to control people's lives. We're trying to keep you away from sin. Keep me away from sin. Because that stuff will pull you in. Seize it right away. The insistent approach. Don't let it go. And then the immense awareness. At the end of the verse, he says, verse 13, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Hey, guys, I've said this earlier. But your life, your decisions, your success hang on your learning and applying these lessons out of the Bible. It's that big a deal. It's that big a deal. Your life could go in a great way, a successful way, or a failure based off of your reaction to the Bible. And if you're over there saying, I don't think so, it's not looking good for you. All right? I'm not trying to beat you down. I'm telling you, wake up, get your mind where it needs to be, and say, if this comes from God, then I need to follow what He says. It's important. Hey, guys, kind of music you listen to, kind of friends you have, stuff you watch. What do you do on your phones this week? What do you do on your phones this week? You realize God sees what you're doing when you're on your phone? It's important. It's really important. It'll decide the direction of life that you go. And we're all weak and we all struggle, but God has told us what we need to do. Let's follow Him. Seize it right away. Hey, guys, you want to be able to handle the truth? You want to be able to use it so that you can have a good life? Have that wisdom. Have those right decisions come your way. And you make those right decisions. Serious attention. Are you paying attention to it? You're not going to have a good life if you turned off mentally. I don't care. I mean, let me just hit this real quick. Guys, some guys, if we preach to them, they're falling asleep. If we throw a TikTok video up here, you'll be on the edge of your seat. Am I right? Or we show something stupid, you'll be like, that is so funny. I'm not saying we can't watch, well, if it's bad, we shouldn't watch it. But I'm not saying we can't watch TV or certain things on the internet. But guys, what kind of value do you place on that? I mean, if it's some rapper up here, some of you guys, that would be really important to you, which is a problem. If it comes from the Bible, you're like, glory. Brother, you are going in the wrong direction. Wake up, get on the right path before it's too late. Give serious attention to it, number one. Number two, seize it right away. Solomon says, son, when I'm teaching you stuff, take fast hold of instruction. Grab that thing. Grab it quick. Don't let it get away from you. Just like Tim in football, how they would teach you to hold the ball a certain way so that people couldn't rip it out of your arms. Guys, the world is trying to rip these lessons away from you. The devil's trying to snatch this stuff out of your heart. Grab a hold of the truth and hold on to it. He could tell you, and Zach could tell you, they would run through drills for probably a lot of time to hold on to the ball a certain way so that it wouldn't get ripped or stripped away from them. Guys, why is it that we hear stuff and we let it go so easily? You shouldn't look at that and then all our friends say, hey, look at that girl. And there goes that lesson. Whoop! Don't listen to wrong type of music. Amen, that's right. And then your friend says, hey, listen to this. And you throw it out the window. Alright, seize it right away. Point number three and last. Secured adherence. Verse number four. I'm getting my numbers all messed up. That's point number three. Verse number four. Look at verse number four with me, and we'll finish up here. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart, what's that word?
Retain.
What is it?
Retain.
Retain thy words. What does retain mean?
Grab or container.
Retain. If I say, man, I was in that class, but I don't retain much from it. What do I mean? Yeah, I haven't held on to much of it, right? So when he's talking about retain, he's saying hold on to it. And this is talking about after it's over. Okay? So here's the steps that we've gone through today. When you hear it, attention. Be there mentally. Grab a hold of it. That's verse number 20. Then we go to verse number 13. Take fast hold of it. So I give my best attention to it, and then when it comes my way, I grab it quick. I grab it. As soon as I get the chance, I grab a hold of it. And I'm holding it tightly. And then this part is saying after it's over, You hold on to it through the long haul. You keep these lessons in your heart and in your life sustained. Hold on to it. That's what retain means. So learn these definitions, guys. All right. Attend means what? Attend.
Be there.
And we're talking about with your mind, right? Take fast hold. What does that mean?
Grab it quick.
All right. And then retain.
Hold on to it.
All right. That's what the message is today. That's what you need to learn from this. Retain it. Grab a hold of it over the long haul. Listen, the lessons you've learned growing up, have you held on to them over the long haul? Have you sustained it? Have you stuck with them? Let them sink down deeply into who you are. And guys, if you do these things, that is successful handling. That is taking the truth and being able to handle it in your life. Can you handle the truth? All right? These are steps that we need to have. So, what difference in your life needs to be made? Do you need to give more attention to it? Hey guys, can I tell you? Listen, if I sit in church and I'm just sitting there and I'm not active, I'll get tired, I'll get tuned out, I'll be thinking about everything else except church, except the Bible. That's why I take notes personally. That's why I say amen. Not only to support the preacher, and because it's true what he's saying, but it helps me stay engaged, helps me stay active. Mm-hmm. If I'm just sitting there, man, that is really good preaching. I'm going to be knocked out in like 2 minutes, all right? I've got to stay into it. That's right, amen, right. It helps me mentally track what he's saying. That helps me stay into it. Hey guys, when you come to church, if you really get tired, pop some gum in so it keeps you awake and alert. Do it. Listen, whatever you got to do, but what do you got to do to stay in there mentally? Number two, what do you got to do so that you can grab a hold of that stuff quickly? Hey, I tell you, for me, if somebody's giving me a definition of something, bam, I'm writing that down because it helps me learn. Next time I read in the Bible, I don't have to say, what in the world does that mean? I know what it means. He just taught me, right? He just looked it up, and now he's giving me that information. It helps me. Or if they're telling you this is what happens in Proverbs, or this is what happens in Psalms, or this is what happens in John, that's stuff that you can use broadly. It helps you. Snatch it right away. Seize it right away. And then the secured adherence, retain it. Hold on to it over the long haul. Hey, maybe over time you need to go back through your notes and say, have I done this? We just went on our trip last week, Ethan. Maybe I need to go back through my notes and say, what Brother Jamal preached about, have I worked on that? What Brother Josh said, is there anything that I could implement into my life according to that? What Brother Tut spoke on, and Brother Zach, is there stuff that I can use in my life now? Hey guys, let's do that. Let's work on that. Let's learn more about these things so that we can handle the truth that God has given to us. God gave us the truth, right? What a great thing that is. We have, guys, if you're wondering where the truth is, it's right here in the Word of God. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. His word is true from the beginning. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. We have the truth. But so often, guys, they don't do anything with it. I'm glad you bring your Bible to church, and we're for that. That's what you should do. But throughout the week, are you reading it? Are you thinking about it? Are you using it the way it needs to be used? Can you handle the truth? Let's bow.